Pastor Dan's going to need a nap after that. You get worn out. Those kids wear you out. Take your Bibles, if you would, please, and open with me to Revelation chapter 6. Revelation chapter 6, and truly it is in love for us that the Lord warns us here about the wrath of God that is to come. As we read through this, do not forget that this is, just as Pastor Dan said, this is God's word to us, given to us in love, to warn us about things that are about to come upon the earth. The title of the message this morning is The Six Seals, The Beginning of Sorrows. Revelation chapter 6, beginning at verse 1. Lord willing, we will cover the entire chapter. Now I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard one of the four living creatures saying with a voice like thunder, "Come and see." And I looked, and behold, a white horse. He who sat on it had a bow, and a crown was given to him, and he went out conquering and to conquer. When he opened the second seal, I heard the second living creature saying, "Come and see." Another horse, fiery red, went out, and it was granted to the one who sat on it to take peace from the earth, and that people should kill one another, and there was given to him a great sword. When he opened the third seal, I heard the third living creature say, "Come and see." So I looked, and behold, a black horse, and he who sat on it had a pair of scales in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four living creatures saying, "A quart of wheat for a denarius, and 3 quarts of barley for a denarius, and do not harm the oil and the wine." When he opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth living creature saying, "Come and see." So I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and the name of him who sat on it was Death, and Hades followed with him. And power was given to them over a fourth of the earth to kill with sword, with hunger, with death, and by the beasts of the earth. When he opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of those who had been slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, "How long, O Lord, holy and true, until you judge and avenge our blood on those who dwell on the earth?" Then a white robe was given to each of them, and it was said to them that they should rest a little while longer, until both the number of their fellow servants and their brethren, who would be killed as they were, was completed. I looked when he opened the sixth seal, and behold, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became like blood. And the stars of heaven fell to the earth as a fig tree drops its late figs when it is shaken by a mighty wind. Then the sky receded as a scroll when it is rolled up, and every mountain and island was moved out of its place. And the kings of the earth, the great men, the rich men, the commanders, the mighty men, every slave and every free man, hid themselves in the caves and in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and rocks, "Fall on us, and hide us from the face of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath has come, and who is able to stand?" It's no secret what the Spirit of God speaks about here. This is about the wrath of God and about the wrath of the Lamb, which is to come upon a Christ-rejecting world. The six seals here are the seals of the scroll, which contains the will of God for the future of this world. Christ alone is worthy to open that scroll and to loose its six seals and to set into motion a series of six severe judgments which are about to come upon the earth. It is in love and in mercy that God is warning all of us in advance. As we walk through this very important and very relevant to you text of Scripture, I want you to notice just three things. First of all, the witness of these six seals in verse 1, the wrath of these six seals in verses 1 through 17, and then the worth of these six seals, which we will get from another place of Scripture. First of all, notice the witness of these six seals. Chapter 6, verse 1. "Now I saw," stop there, "I is the Apostle John." He is the beloved disciple of Jesus Christ, one of the 12 who walked with Jesus, who talked with him and who worked with him to spread the gospel during Christ's earthly ministry. The Apostle John witnessed Christ's countless miracles. He witnessed his love and his grace shown towards people on the earth. Then he witnessed his suffering and death on the cross for our sins. He witnessed Christ risen up from the dead, and then he wrote a book, which we also have in the Bible, the Gospel of John. John ends his gospel with these words: "This is the disciple who testifies of these things, and we know that his testimony is true." The same is true of Revelation. John the Apostle, the witness to Christ's life, suffering, death, and resurrection. He is the one who is writing these things in Revelation 6, and his testimony is true. What we're about to read here is real. It is not, as I heard one preacher say this week, it is not merely some pictures meant to tell us that bad things will happen. It's far more than that. These are things which will take place before Jesus comes again. The time is near, as Jesus says in Revelation 1, verse 3, and these are meant as a warning. Believe what you are about to hear. Do not be like the fools who disregard it. Notice now the wrath of these six seals. We're going to walk through them one by one. Each one of them is a stage in the wrath of God and the wrath of Christ being meted out upon the earth for their rejection of Jesus Christ, their rejection of his offer of salvation, their rejection of the gospel message. This is the righteous wrath of God, which is about to be revealed as God's response to the wickedness of men on the earth. We'll see that wickedness as we go through. Let's start at the first seal. The first seal in verses 1 and 2 is God's judgment of false Christs. False Christs. Every one of these horse riders represents a judgment of God. The first one is false Christs. Verse 1. "Now I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard one of the four living creatures saying with a voice like thunder, 'Come and see.' And I looked, and behold, a white horse. He who sat on it had a bow, and a crown was given to him, and he went out conquering and to conquer." The Lamb here is Jesus Christ. He's called the Lamb because in love for us, he offered up his life as a sacrifice for our sins. But here it is his wrath that is poured out. He is the one, verse 1, who comes and opens one of the seals. Again, these are seals on the scroll written front and back, which reveal God's will for the future of this world. He alone is worthy to open them. Here he looses the first seal. And John says, "I heard one of the four living creatures speak." The four living creatures are the seraphim, special, powerful, angelic beings who surround the throne of God and who guard the holiness of God. This one said, notice, with a voice like thunder. Thunder is warning of an approaching storm. These seals are the warning, the revelation of God's wrath that is about to come, being revealed to us in advance. And this creature said one word, really, "Come." Some of your Bibles have that. Come. This is not to the Apostle John. This is to the horseman. Come. It's not to John. He's already there. This is to the horseman. And the horseman comes forth. Verse 2, "I looked and behold, a white horse. He who sat on it had a bow. A crown was given to him. He went out conquering and to conquer." A lot of questions here. Why a white horse? Is this conqueror a good guy? Is he going out conquering evil on the earth? Why does he have a bow but no arrows? What's this crown given to him? And it's given by whom and for what? A lot of questions, but you just need to keep two things in mind as we go through for an accurate interpretation. First of all, these are judgments of God. They are revelations of his wrath before Christ comes again. So don't think white horse equals good guy. Second of all, and very importantly, for an accurate understanding of Revelation, Jesus is showing John things which must soon take place, and this is not the first time that he has told John about these things. We have to go back and be reminded of what Jesus already told John and his other apostles about the end times. So keep your finger here in Revelation 6 and turn back with me for a moment to Matthew 24 and the Mount Olivet Discourse. Matthew chapter 24. As I read to you verses 3 through 9, I would encourage you to note six things, because these are the six seals that we see in Revelation 6. You're going to see six things here. Number one, false Christs. Number two, wars. Number three, famines. Number four, pestilence and death. Number five, martyrs. And number six, earthquakes. Matthew 24, verses 3 through 9. This is Christ talking to his disciples before he went to the cross, telling them what would happen in the end. Now, as he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying, "Tell us, when will these things be, and what will be the signs of your coming and of the end of the age?" And Jesus answered and said to them, "Take heed that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name, saying, 'I am the Christ,' and will deceive many." That's the first seal, false Christs. Verse 6, "And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars," as you will see. That's the second seal, wars and rumors of wars. "See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. And there will be famines," as we will see. That's the third seal. "Pestilences," as we will see. That's the fourth seal. "And earthquakes in various places," that is actually the sixth seal. "All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake." Those are martyrs, and that's the fifth seal. Notice what Jesus says. All of these are the beginning of sorrows. Turn back now to Revelation 6. There's an exact parallel in what Jesus is showing John here. The things that we're seeing here are judgments of God upon the earth for the world's rejection of Jesus Christ. And the first seal is false Christs. God is going to send delusion on the earth. The white horse represents righteousness, but it is a false righteousness. The horseman upon it represents false Christ and the delusion that comes with it. Conquering is by means not of bow and arrows, just a bow. Peaceful conquering, peacefully, without bloodshed. The false Christ will bring a lie that many will believe. And so many people will be deceived that for a time there will be a sense of peace on the earth. The crown given means that for a time, deception will rule. Now you might wonder, would the God of heaven really send deceivers and strong delusion upon the earth so that people would believe a lie? Would God really do that as a judgment upon the earth? Well, how well do you know your Bible? 2 Thessalonians 2:11, listen to this. "And for this reason," and 2 Thessalonians 2:10 gives the reason, "it's because people reject Christ and the gospel, they would not receive the love of the truth so that they might be saved. For this reason, God will send them a strong delusion so that they should believe the lie, so that they all may be condemned who did not believe the truth but had pleasure in unrighteousness." Why do people reject the truth? Because they have pleasure in their unrighteousness. This is why people reject Christ and the gospel this day. What about you? Have you received the truth of the gospel? Have you believed in Jesus Christ and his death on the cross for our sins? Have you believed in the resurrection? Or are you like the many who reject it? The truth is that God's wrath is coming upon the earth against those who do not obey the gospel. And the first seal warns that the first judgment will be false Christs and many will be deceived. And for a time, there will be a sense of peace. And then, second seal. Second seal is war, verses 3 and 4. Take a look. "When he opened the second seal, I heard the second living creature saying, 'Come.'" It's not "come and see," so from now on, I'm just going to read the word "come." It's to the horseman. Another horse, fiery red, went out, and it was granted to the one who sat on it to take peace from the earth, and that people should kill one another, and there was given to him a great sword. This horse is fiery red because there will be so much bloodshed on the earth. Bloodshed everywhere. This is the second judgment that's coming. It will be the removal of peace, and the result will be killing and war, just as Jesus said in Matthew 24, verse 6. It's hard to imagine it, right? But imagine if tomorrow God removed from the earth all who keep the peace. We have in our own city people known as peacekeepers, right? Officers, peace officers. And there are peacekeepers around the world. Imagine what would happen if all of them disappeared tomorrow. Well, we've gotten a taste of it, haven't we? I mean, we've seen bits and pieces. People riot even when there are peace officers on hand. They don't even care. Imagine if they were all gone. What we see today in terms of people killing one another, and we see it every week, is but a very small taste of what is about to come when the Lord reveals his wrath by removing peace. It will be seen that the peace brought about by a false religion is a false peace because people's hearts are unchanged. You know, there are many clamoring today that the only way to peace is for all the religions to unite. That is a false peace. And it will come about. False Christ will come and bring about a false sense of peace. But it will not last. The aftermath, when people's hearts are exposed, will be war and killing. And the result of that will be famine. The third seal is famine. Take a look, verses 5 and 6. When he opened the third seal, this is Christ opening the seals on the scroll that reveals God's will for the future of the world, I heard the third living creature, the third of the seraphim, say, "Come." And I looked, and behold, a black horse, black because of mourning, black because of sadness, dark days. And I saw a black horse, and he who sat on it had a pair of scales in his hand, a symbol for the rationing out of food. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four living creatures, that's the voice of God, saying, "A quart of wheat for a denarius, and three quarts of barley for a denarius, and do not harm the oil and the wine." Now, a quart of wheat was considered to be the amount needed, the average amount needed to sustain a person's life for one day. And a denarius is what? A day's wage. In other words, it will take everything you make in a day just to support yourself with food. What if you have a family? Three quarts of barley for a denarius. Barley is a lesser quality food. It's more like animal food. But you can take all your day's wage and buy just enough to feed your family if you only have a family of three. But there's nothing left over. This is worldwide scarcity of food brought about by all the war and the killing when peace is removed. What about do not harm the oil and the wine? This too is a judgment. No one will be able to afford it but those who are rich. As one commentator writes, inequity will continue to prevail. The privileged lifestyle of the rich will remain for a few, adding to the suffering of the many. The vast majority of people will barely have enough to survive. They will not be able to afford oil, which could anoint their wounds or cook their food or soothe their skin, nor wine, which could numb the pain. And after that, there will be pestilence and death. Fourth seal, verses 7 and 8. When he opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth living creature saying, "Come." And I looked, and behold, a pale horse. This is more like a pale yellow, the color of a corpse. And the name of him who sat on it was Death. Each of these horsemen is not a person, but a judgment. The one on this horse is Death, and Hades followed with him, sort of like a hearse to gather up all the dead bodies. Power was given to them over a fourth of the earth. If it happened today, that would be over about 2 billion people. And as one man writes, the magnitude of this cannot be grasped by us because nothing comparable has happened in our history. You know, the deadliest era in recent memory is World War II. Most of us were not alive back then. but there were 56 million casualties. This is way, way worse. Power will be given to death and Hades, notice verse 8, to kill with sword, that means some will die by means of lethal weapons, with hunger, some will die of starvation, with death, or the word is pestilence, just as Jesus said in Matthew 24, and by beasts of the earth. Some think this means that wild animals will be loose and rabid. Could mean, as some say, they'll be bitten by rats and snakes. We don't know. The bottom line is that death is given authority over a fourth of the earth to kill 25% of the world's population. These things are real. This is not, as I heard one preacher say, well, surely these things cannot actually take place. No, they can and they will. The judgments of the Lord are true and altogether righteous. Now, at some point during all these judgments, and maybe throughout all of them, there will be some who get it. There will be some who understand this is the wrath of God being poured out on the earth for the rejection of Jesus Christ. And they will call upon the Lord and be saved. And then they will call on others to do the same. But what will happen to them? They'll be killed. The next seal is martyrs. Look at verse 9. When he opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of those who had been slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. These are people who preached the word of God, who preached Christ, who called on people to repent and believe. And when they did so, they were delivered up to the authorities, ordered to cease or else. They did not cease, and they were put to death for the testimony which they held on to. This is just exactly what Jesus had said to his disciples in Matthew 24, verse 9. He said, they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you. You know what? That raises a question. Who would do this? Who would deliver up witnesses for Christ, proclaiming the message of hope and salvation? Who would deliver them up to the authorities to be killed? You know what the answer is? Their families. Mark 13:12, brother will betray brother to death, and a father his own child. And children will rise up against their parents and cause them to be put to death. What's the picture? People will be so dead set against Jesus Christ, so dead set against Christianity, so dead set against the gospel, that if their own family member comes preaching the gospel, they will deliver them up to be killed and think they're doing the world a favor. Again, we get a taste of these things today when we see our own family members reject us for the gospel of Jesus Christ and accuse us and speak evil of us. We get a taste of this today when we see the people around us rejecting the gospel. What's coming is something far, far more severe. Verse 10, and they cried out with a loud voice, saying, how long, O Lord, holy and true, until you judge and avenge our blood on those who dwell upon the earth? They're not actually seeking personal revenge. They're seeking for God to remove this reign of evil on the earth and bring it to an end. What's the answer to how long? The answer is to them, a little while longer, because others must give their lives also. Verse 11. Then a white robe was given to each of them, a reward, as Christ promised. It was said to them they should rest a little while longer until both the number of their fellow servants and their brethren who would be killed as they were was completed. In other words, God has determined a set number of people who must give their life in those days, and it won't stop until they have all given their lives for the gospel. This is a judgment of God upon the earth. It's a righteous judgment. Many preachers of the gospel will be put to death and will remove in large part the power of God unto salvation from the earth. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. God is going to remove it one by one. One preacher after another will be taken from the earth. Then will come the sixth seal, verses 12 to 17, earthquakes and cosmic disturbance. I looked when he opened the sixth seal, and behold, there was a great earthquake, a great shaking. Violent shaking. And the sun became black as sackcloth, as if the sun itself puts on mourning clothes. And the moon became like blood. And the stars of heaven fell to the earth as a fig tree drops its late figs when it is shaken by a mighty wind. In other words, right and left, stars are dropping out of the sky. It's unpredictable where they'll hit. Just imagine the worst hailstorm you've ever seen or heard of times a million. Then verse 14, the sky receded as a scroll when it is rolled up. Picture the sky splitting in half and both sides rolling up just like a scroll, as though heaven is being opened. One man writes, heaven will appear to split open and roll back in two opposite directions. The visible impression will be that the universe is splitting apart. And every mountain and island was moved out of its place. In other words, there will be a massive, visible, geophysical change to the surface of the earth. And it will be so deathly terrifying that look what everyone does, verse 15. Then the kings of the earth, who's that? World leaders. We're talking about the Donald Trumps and the Vladimir Putins and the Kim Jong-uns of the world. The world leaders in power at the time will run. And great men, who are these? These are all their high-ranking officials. They too will run. And the rich men, these are the very wealthy. These are the Bill Gateses and the Jeff Bezoses and the Mark Zuckerbergs of the world. The millionaires and billionaires, the corporate executives, they too will run for the hills. And the commanders, the mighty men, these are the powerful, influential warriors of the world who led people once into battle. They too will run for the hills. And every slave and every free man, that's everyone else, all will respond in terror and run for the hills. They will hide themselves in the caves and in the rocks of the mountains, and notice to whom they will speak. Who do they call out to? The Lord? No. Mother Nature. And they said, verse 16, to the mountains and the rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath has come, and who is able to stand? Did they know God? Yes. Did they know Christ? They heard of him. Did they know this was coming? Yes. They understand it when it comes. Did they repent? No. This is not the cry of repentance. This is a cry to the earth to fall on us and hide us from the wrath of God. Death is preferable to them, more preferable to them than turning to Christ, because they could call upon him and be saved. This is a graphic picture of terror and utter despair. And they ask a good question, who is able to stand? The answer is, no one. No one can stand. Finally, third, what is the worth of these six seals? What is the worth of these six seals? Let me remind you of what the psalmist David said in Psalm 19 about the judgments of the Lord, and you're going to see how fitting this is to Revelation 6. He says, the judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. The first worth of these judgments is simply that God has written them down for us in advance. And they are true, and they are altogether righteous. They're altogether righteous because God is not going to hold back his wrath from this world forever. Psalm 103 verse 9 says that very thing. He will not contain his wrath forever. Listen, this wicked world deserves that God should pour out his wrath all at once, but he's not going to do that. Ever since the flood, God determined he would not pour it out all at once. So this is God's wrath revealed in stages that men might repent. Then David says this, more to be desired are the judgments of the Lord than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. That's the worth of this. You know what? You should want that God would not let things continue as they are. You should want that God would pour out his judgment on the earth. You should want that. In fact, you should weep like John does if these things were never to happen. Just like people in a courtroom want the judge to bring about justice, we should want that one day God will bring about a reckoning for all the wickedness that is done to him and to Christ and to Christianity and to women and children and parents and families all over the world. More to be desired are these judgments than gold and much fine gold. Then he says this, moreover, by them your servant is warned. Listen, if you're a servant of Jesus Christ, the warning is twofold. The judgment of God is about to come upon the earth, and there is still time. Still time for us to do the Lord's work. Still time for us to warn others and call them to flee the wrath that is to come. I hope that you do that. I hope that you share the gospel with other people. I hope that you warn them faithfully of the wrath that is to come. I recognize that's not easy to do. Don't be unfaithful in this work that God's given all of us. To tell people about Jesus, to be bold to proclaim the gospel, and yes, to warn them about judgment. The first three chapters of Romans are the gospel, and it's three chapters of judgment. I just took my neighbors through it. Yes, it's an eye-opener. But they don't see their need for a Savior if they don't understand the judgment of God. And then the psalmist says this, and this is probably most of all. And in keeping them, there is great reward. Revelation begins by saying, blessed are those who keep the words of this book. Revelation ends by saying, blessed are those who keep the words of this book. My preaching to you is keeping the words of Revelation. You listening and believing what you're hearing is keeping the words of this book. You passing them on to your children and grandchildren is keeping the words of this book. You do that, and you will be blessed. Listen, if you're here today and you don't know Christ, you should run. Run to Christ. Just what we talked about this morning. We sang a song, Run to Christ. You should run to Christ in prayer and say, Lord, forgive me. Forgive me of my sins. Have mercy on me, a sinner. If you say, I have trouble believing, I have trouble repenting, then say, God, help my unbelief. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, but you've been sinning, you've been living in sin, run to Christ. Say, Lord, forgive me. I've been sinning. I'm your servant. Cleanse me. And claim the promise of God. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. If you're a believer in Christ and you have been faithful, rejoice. Be faithful until death, and He will give you the crown of life. And He will keep you out of this judgment which is about to come on the whole earth. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for warning us faithfully in advance of the things that are to come. We pray that you'd help us to be faithful to the end. In Jesus' name, amen.